Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Pleased to be joined now by Kevin Arnovitz, ESPN.com staff writer. He wrote, let Zion Williamson choose where he wants to play. He did this once again back in 2012 when Anthony Davis was slotted to be the first pick of the then New Orleans Pelicans. Kevin, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Interesting thought that you have of allowing free agent, a rookie's to become free agents. Why do you feel this way?
Hey, Kevin, you're definitely a capitalist. I mean, I could say that just by reading where you have that kind of flexibility. Hey, you ready to earn a living? You should be able to go wherever you want.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's three reasons. First is I just don't see why the most talented people in their field shouldn't have a say. And by the way, I think we could do this any number of ways to help small market franchises that feel they'd be at a disadvantage. But I just think, first and foremost, it's American, right? Like, you get a job offer, you get to interview the boss gets to interview you, particularly if you're talented, and these guys are really talented, and I think they should have a say just in where they go. Secondly is I don't like the incentive structure in the league right now. I don't like that the worst teams why do the Phoenix Suns get another top pick this year? Why? If the system is designed, what's supposed to help these teams? Why is every year the Suns and the Sacramento Kings, and it's the same cast of characters on that little match game set that we see every May? And third, it doesn't work. Everyone's like, we need the draft for parity. Or what? Maybe we'd have the same finals matchup for every 4 years in a row, or one team would represent the Western Conference in the finals every single year for five straight years. So if the stated purpose of this draft is, oh, we have to preserve parity, it's not working. But I mean, there's a lot more to it, and I can probably, you know, I've gotten a lot of pushback. It wasn't intentional to pick on New Orleans per se. I just think in general, and by the way, I think good small franchises can make their case to these guys, come work for us.
How would they do that in your mind?
All right, so one of the comments I've gotten is, oh my God, are you naive? Everybody will pick the Lakers. And so my question is, really? If next summer we kind of put a genie in a bottle and said, all right, we're going to do it this way, and the Lakers are capped out with three superstars on the roster, does anybody really believe that if you go to one of the top three picks and say you have a couple of choices, you can go take the minimum in Los Angeles to be the fourth option behind LeBron James, Anthony Davis, whoever, and, you know, whatever? Or here come the Memphis Grizzlies, who have plenty of money to offer. You can offer you 10 times the salary of the Los Angeles Lakers, and you can be the great wing to pair with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. I just, you know, talking to agents, I fail to believe this notion that everybody would go to New York. Really? Because the Knicks haven't signed a free agent since Charlie Ward. They'll go to New York. Really? Who goes to New York? Nobody goes to New York. You know why? Because it's a crappy franchise, and nobody wants to play there. I'm not suggesting there won't be a rookie who says, I'll take on the bright lights. But this idea that if only the Knicks – really? Because I see Paul George going to Oklahoma City, even though he's from Los Angeles, voluntarily. I see Damian Lillard waiting on his doorstep for a max extension from the Portland Trailblazers. I think these small market teams sell themselves short. I think if you're well run and you make the case, come play for us and you will be in a first-class organization. Nobody ever talks about the San Antonio Spurs as a small market. Nobody wants to play their franchise. Why? Have you been to San Antonio? Like, it's not a terribly interesting place. It's not a terribly big place. It's not a terribly sexy place. And yet no one ever talks to them. Why? Oh, because they're competently run. And I think one of the things we should do is not give these crappy franchises recourse every year when they screw the pooch.
But Kevin, yeah. With that being said, do you think Tim Duncan would have chosen the Spurs if he had an opportunity? Because he had to go to the Spurs, and we all know he liked it there. Coach Popovich, well-run organization. And we all know what they've done late 90s and two decades. The Spurs are always relevant. But who would truly choose maybe San Antonio? I just think that there's no way you could have. Now, if you're truly a capitalist, you just look at the market, the good teams are going to be around. But then do you truly have a league then? And you're coming about maybe you have 10 or 12 teams instead of 30 or what?
No, I think, first of all, in a cap system, any team that's a glamour team is going to – any team that's capped out can only offer these rookies the absolute bare minimum, right? And we can create – look, I'm all for – I'm trying to start a conversation. And one of the things I'm totally amenable to is, hey, let's help out the small franchises. In fact, maybe we do sort of the rookie contract you can offer is larger if you're from a losing team. You know, and it's kind of odd because we do play this shell game where we talk about the small markets.
Right.
But do we actually mean the losing teams? Because all I know is I just watched the Los Angeles Lakers pick the number two pick 3 years in a row. No one complained. Oh, well, what about the small markets? You mean the Los Angeles Lakers? And then they used it to ransom Anthony Davis out of New Orleans. So, but I'm totally open to incentive structures that say, and you know, I propose this sort of national match format, which would not give the guys a free agency, but just say they get some input. They get to make a list. And by the way, each team still only gets one draft pick, but the teams get to sort of interview, the players get to interview the teams the way the teams interview the player, and then there's an algorithm that sort of matches in the way we do with med students. It's regarded by economists as a really smart way to match talent and institutions. So I'm amenable to things we can do to sort of help, but I just also fail to believe this notion that somehow everybody who wants to be the man is going to congregate on Los Angeles Lakers behind LeBron James. I just think is naive. I think guys, if you ask who's the happiest rookie last year, the answer is Trae Young. Now, Atlanta is a reasonably sized market, but nobody really thinks of Atlanta as a place guys want to go. But what they did is they sort of cleared the decks.
I don't know about that, Kevin. When you look at Atlanta, a very progressive community.
Hey, I grew up there. I was born and raised in Atlanta.
Listen, I lived in Alpharetta, Georgia for 14 years, but a very progressive city for African-Americans. There's a lot of people besides African-American professional athletes, besides Los Angeles, they retire in Atlanta. So, no, that'd be very attractive to go. I mean, now – how well is the team run? But Atlanta's a different animal to me than New Orleans and Memphis. But with that being said now, Kevin, when I look at the draft as a whole, wouldn't you say, are you anti-draft no matter what? Because I think the NFL's formula and how the parity, and in theory, you know, 8-8, 9-7, everybody has a chance. You give hope to different cities because it's more the team aspect. When you look at the roster and how many players are involved, where maybe a handful of players or one or two players can make all the difference in the world in the NBA. So I think the NBA draft, wouldn't you say, is different than the NFL? Because I think the way the NFL does it – now, I'm not for franchise tags and all that. I think if you pay your dues, like we got Michael Thomas, he's due maybe to be the highest-paid receiver. The Saints should not be able to control that narrative. But when I look at the NFL draft versus NBA – I think it's completely different. Now, what is your take on that?
I mean, I'm not a huge NFL person, and I don't know a ton about the NFL. I mean, I will say 16 games enable the level of parity that you just can't achieve in 82, which is why I want a shorter season as well. I mean, I think there are ways to achieve parity. But I just think, again, I just don't – well, here's the other thing about this obsession with the draft. Did anyone just watch the finals? I just watched a Toronto team. Kawhi Leonard, 15th pick. Pascal Siakam, the 20s. Kyle Lowry, the 20s. Marc Gasol, the 20s.
No lottery picks.
Danny Green, undrafted. Fred VanVleet, undrafted. Norman Powell, second round.
Right.
Serge Ibaka, number 17. Literally not a guy picked in the first half of the first round in the eight-man rotation of the Toronto Raptors. But no, if you don't get the first pick, you're not going to be able to compete. It's baloney. What I want to do is make teams sort of recruit, make teams compelling. And let me tell you something about David Griffin. I have faith. This inferiority complex everybody in New Orleans has. Let me tell you something. If you empower David Griffin and you let him build the infrastructure for a franchise and you let him make a case to a young player and an agent, and by the way, you let him choose – see, I always look, Kawhi's kind of an interesting case. If you let him be free agents, everybody that year would have run off to the first pick. And I forget who it was. the Spurs or the Pacers would have been the smart team that says, you know what, let everybody try to pursue the number one and two guys that are getting all the attention. We know this is the best player in the draft. Same thing would have happened with Paul George. This notion that unless you are a big market, that you don't have, you know what, hire the scouts who know, you know what, let everybody else go chase those guys in free agency, the one through three guys, the Barrett, Williamson, and the and Morant. We're going to go find the gem of the draft. And by the way, we can get them at a lower price. That's what I want to encourage. I think this actually could help small market franchises. I think it would allow teams to not go on the herd theory and instead really invest in themselves and the power of their scouting and the power of their evaluation, allow them to be choosy. And by and large, the smaller market is going to have more money resources. You can't go to a capped out Lakers team if you're Zion Williamson, if the circumstances were changed.
But yeah, but you right? go to the Clippers, you go to the Clippers, they got the resources. I mean,
all right, great. And the Clippers. And then what happens to the next year when the Clippers are capped out because they have Kawhi and last year's number one pick? At some point, everyone's going to get their shot. But there's also this notion that if you don't get, oh, everyone's, you know what? Yeah, good. Anthony Bennett right now would be making $11 million on some big market team because he was the top guy coming out of that draft. You know, this idea, the Golden State Warriors came to prominence with a number eight pick, a number six pick, a second rounder, a mid-first rounder, and undrafted. Like this idea that, oh, these are the only guys who come out. You can construct teams. I want to start rewarding competence. What I want to stop doing is this baloney that in the last 6 weeks of the season, we have to watch this dreck that they actually produce as a product, which is the last third of the NBA season, where basically every night you turn on the team and one of the two teams is not playing in earnest. Why? Because they're tanking to get the draft.
That's a great point.
The number is, you know, and it's just like, it's garbage. Let teams compete. And I am a little bit of a capitalist in this sense. You know, I be a better franchise. I just don't think that Memphis and New Orleans, I mean, I get a lot of this from it. I just think there's an inferiority complex. Run a good franchise. This guy will take your money and play. And it's demonstrated time and again. No one ever thinks of Portland as a backwater franchise. Not exactly a place where African-American young men tend to, you know, proliferate, Portland, Oregon. Okay, yet it's still a place where, you know, Dame can't re-sign soon enough, a kid from Oakland. Like, why? It's a well-run franchise. They
but do you think Damian Lillard, a player like Damian Lillard, would have went to Portland? If he's not forced to by the draft? I mean,
honestly, this is what I would say. I actually think he would, and I'll tell you my story. All right, first of all, he's coming out of Weber State. He's not Damian Lillard, right? He's
yeah.
the guy that 24 other franchises that day would have taken Harrison Barnes. Neil Olshey was the general manager of the Portland Trailblazers. Neil told me months in advance, there's this kid out of Weber State, and I think he could be the next great NBA point guard. Nobody else was telling. Nobody. I don't think the Los Angeles Lakers would have taken
right.
a kid from Weber State.
They didn't
right?
have the vision.
What happened is you would have had a very persuasive Neil Olshey in the room, in his living room, saying, listen, you're going to get, you know, you can take the sloppy seconds if they don't get their guy. I want you to come to Portland, which, by the way, is a pretty quick plane ride to Oakland. And I want you to play for the richest owner in the NBA in Paul Allen. And we are going to make you the face of this franchise. You're going to be in the backyard of the top shoe companies in the country, and we believe in you. Everyone else wants Harrison. We think you're a far better player. We wouldn't – you, Harrison Barnes can't touch you with a 10-foot pole, Damian Lillard. And by the way, no one agreed with Portland. So I disagree. I think the Portland Trailblazers would have ended up that day with Damian Lillard.
Kevin Arnovitz, ESPN.com staff writer at Kevin Arnovitz. It's a different approach, certainly a contrarian one. Kevin, thanks for the time. Certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me the time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.